Dear listeners, we are here today with Evangelist Joseph Bonfort. Recently, we have received phone calls from different listeners, one of them a dear sister who asked, "How can I find peace?" Another brother asked, "How can I overcome my earthly lust?" We will now listen to a message from Brother Joseph on this subject.
Amen. I'd like to give a message about overcoming the world, the tricks, the traps, the deceits. 2 Corinthians 2:11, we read, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." In John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Thank you, Lord. See, don't worry about everything we have to go through in this world, and we will have to go through a lot of things. It's a false gospel where it says that we don't have to have battles, we don't have to have trials, everything is going to be smooth. I heard some strange messages sometimes preached, like people who sins, they have the Lord, the Lord Jesus in their hearts, they just not desperate anymore, they have no troubles anymore, and every trial and tribulation is like a peanut, it's like they overcome everything because of Jesus. Well, listen, not even Jesus had this kind of faith, okay? You can see Jesus in the Gethsemane, he was desperate. You can see Jesus all throughout the whole gospel. He was always sober, vigilant, serious. He would get upset sometimes, or whether with the Pharisees, sometimes even with his disciples, things would go wrong. Of your little faith, why did you doubt? Oh, adulterous generation, unfaithful generation, how long will I bear you? I mean, I not even Jesus was in such a level that he didn't have trials, he didn't have battles, he was not desperate. Well, Jesus was so desperate in the Gethsemane to the point to ask the Father to take the cup away from him. How much more we should walk diligently and seriously and in prayer, knowing that our enemies, our adversary, the devil, goes around seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, goes around seeking whom he may devour. We see that the devil is depicted and shown in three pictures in Revelation chapter 6. There are three horses. There are four horses, but three of them represent Satan, like death, war, and pestilences. And then there is a guy black with the scales in his hands. That's business. That's the devil. And these three horsemen go around the world provoking wars, destroying things, provoking sicknesses, spreading sickness. You see, today there are a lot of pestilences like AIDS and swine flu and other sickness are purposely provoked. I mean, the science have proven, they have shown that sickness and viruses like the swine flu and the AIDS, they simply do not exist in nature. Nature never produced something like that. It was conquered, it was built, fabricated in laboratory, just like they make computer viruses. Just like during wars, there are people who the spies, saboteurs, they sabotage, they put bombs under the bridges. And just like they put bombs in the streets, in the roads, where the tanks and the cars of the enemy are supposed to pass by. When they pass by, they blew them up. That's how the devil works. So today people are creating these viruses purposely for satanic purposes, such as cut down the world's populations. There are satanic sects who are actively working to cut down the populations. So that's how the evil of the world come in, because the devil and his demons, as horse riders, they ride around the world, spiritual horse riders, provoking sickness, provoking wars, provoking evil, spreading temptation and evil. And all around us, everywhere we go, every day, there is a devil and his demons tempting us, speaking to us, trying to drag us into their hell. And what's the defense? The defense is like the word says, be sober, be vigilant, your adversary, the devil, goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist steadfast, knowing that the same afflictions are happening all over the world to our brethren. So the word is resist. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So the key is resist. All right, so today we will talk about, this is the theme and this is the subject, I'd like to give a message about, this is kind of an introduction. We will show you today how we can overcome these things, how the devil is actually under our feet. Like God said to, he was speaking in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, he said that the seed of the woman, that was Eve, that's the church, that's the bride, right? The seed of the woman. The woman of Genesis chapter, Genesis 3:15, is the same woman of Revelation 19:7, the bride of Christ. Is the same woman protected by God in Revelation 12:6 and 14. He said, the woman shall crush your head. You see, Satan is under our feet. Our feet. Because we have Jesus in our hearts, and because of we have Jesus, Satan is under our feet. And it's only when we have Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, then Satan is under our feet. And we must remember this. Because some Christians are walking around today like, oh, the devil did this, oh, the devil did that, oh, the devil is so powerful. The devil is not powerful at all. The devil has less power than a cockroach, less power than a mosquito, less. Mosquito can bite and suck your blood, the devil cannot. Did you know that? The only way the devil can do that is through people he deceives. He deceives a Hitler, a Stalin, starts a war, and then the people he deceived do the evil. But the devil cannot do nothing to you. He can only tell you to do evil. He can only tempt you. He can only make you go on internet and check look at pornography and look at the filth and get possessed by the filth of the world, watching TV, watching the junk of the world, and then the filth gets into your brain and then it motivates you to act filthy. But it's not the devil making you, it's you opening the door. Because the devil does not have the power to force you to open your mind, to open your heart, to open your soul. The devil can only tempt you, like sirens. Singing songs, come here, come, heaven is here. So if you believe that, then the devil, the demons and these bad spirits are going to get into you, and then you're going to become like a vehicle to transport the demons all around. But even if that happened in your life, even if some of you are listening to this message, and you are demon-possessed, and you are demon-oppressed, and you are obsessed, and you fell into the trap, and you fell into pornography, and you fell into sin, and you fell into deceit, and you fell into wrath, and you fell into lack of love, and you fell off of Christianity, and you fell off the faith, and you stopped reading the Bible, and you stopped loving your brothers, you stopped going to church, it doesn't matter. We have good news. Jesus can take you out. Now, this second, you can grab the hand of Jesus. This second, he will pull you out. Before this recording is finished, before you finish listening to this message, before you finish listening to this sermon, you can be out of your hole. Before I finish giving you this message, before the next 10 minutes, you can be out of your hole. Before the next 5 minutes, it doesn't take 10 seconds for the Lord to get you out. The Lord is slowed down by only one thing, our lack of faith. Just like with healing. People think that it's difficult to receive healing, and the devil is powerful, he's going to stop the healing, and the devil here and the devil there. Listen, there is only one obstacle to healing, and that we think there are obstacles, okay? The moment we believe, you see miraculous healing. The moment you believe, you are delivered. The moment you believe, you overcome the devil. The moment you believe, the devil is defeated. The moment you believe, you grab the hands of Jesus. The second you believe, you're out of the hole where the devil is trying to push you every day. You're out of the ditch. You're out out of your problems, the second you believe, the second you focus on Jesus, the second you look to the Lord, the very second you say, Jesus, help me! You're out. You're saved. You're delivered. But it must be full heart. The people in the Bible couldn't get delivered. Judas repented. And he went back to the temple and he threw the money back. And he said, I betrayed an innocent person. Here is the money back. The Pharisees said, what was that to us? Get out of here. He went and killed himself. Why? His repentance was different than Peter. He denied Jesus. He repented. He cried and went back and died for Jesus. Later through history, we see Peter dying in Rome, crucified. On the Vatican Hill, head down, Peter dies a death which proves that his repentance was true. See, only we in our hearts, only we and God know if our repentance is true. Some people repent because they got caught. I got caught, I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong. It was the wrong strategy, it was the wrong theft, it was the wrong murder. I shouldn't have killed that guy. Look, I'm in jail now for life. That is not repentance. That you just, you are sorry you got caught. Okay, so we need to call on Jesus. We need to accept the hands of Jesus. Now, in the Bible, in fact, if you have a Bible next to you, dear brother, open it up in Philippians 3. There is a key. A key that will open every door. Philippians chapter 3 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. There is a key in there which will open every door, will solve every problem. Look, let me read it to you. We start from verse 3. Philippians 3, 7 to 10. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I accounted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. So, the key in this Philippians chapter 3, he says that I may know Him. When we know Jesus, we have reached the purpose why we were created. We were not created so that we can have a career, buy a house, get married, have children. All these things are good and well, but they're all secondary. Even our family is secondary. Even our marriage and our father and mother and children, our brethren, our church, should not be an idol in front of God. I will have no other gods in front of me. Alright, everything is secondary, and some secondary things come before other secondary things, and other secondary things come after other secondary. They're all secondary. And some things we should just get rid of it. Say, like watching TV, smoking, drinking, cussing and cursing, and bad thoughts and filthy thoughts, and internet, etc. You should get rid of it. Well, you can go to internet to look for things about the Lord, but keep binoculars, keep your blinders on. So, all things we count loss, that we may know Him. What does it mean to know Him? It means eternal life. It means to know Jesus. It means to know the Savior. It means to know. It's not enough to believe in Jesus. Believing in Jesus is not enough. We need to know Jesus if we want to be the bride of Christ. Knowing Jesus, let's start believing. Believing in Jesus will save us from hell. That will give us a free hell insurance. We believe in Jesus. John 3:36, we believe in Jesus, we have eternal life. Wonderful. But. That doesn't mean we are the bride of Christ yet. To achieve the level to be the bride of Christ, we must know Him. We see in Matthew 7:21-23, people who believed in Jesus, did miracle in His name, they prophesied, this and that. And Jesus said, yeah, He did all these things, but I don't know you. What do you mean you don't know me? We did miracles, we prophesied, we cast out devils. We're not like the sons of Sheba. They got beat up. We cast out devil. We believe in you. Yes, I believe, yes, you believe in me. We know you. Yes, you know me, but I don't know you. It's not enough that we know Jesus. The devil knows Jesus. The demons know Jesus and tremble.
How can I make sure that besides me knowing Jesus, that he really knows me?
Amen, amen. That's, yeah, because Jesus said in Matthew 7:21-23, he said, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we did this and that, miracle, etc. But I will say to them, I don't know you. Those people, obviously, they knew Jesus. The five foolish virgin without oil, they knew Jesus. They were waiting for Jesus, but they got locked out. So, in fact, let's go to John 14. You see, we have to make sure that he knows us. It's not enough we know Jesus. Like, I know the president of this country. I know many friends. I meet friends every day. I know them. But I really don't know their souls. I don't know if they know me. It's kind of... So, let's go to John 14:24. It says, he that loves me not, keeps not my saying. So, one way to know that Jesus does not know us is that we are not obeying his commandments. Which are his commandments? Very simple. They're all in the gospel. He does not expect us to be perfect, but yes, he expects us to do our best. So here is, let's read now verse 23, John 14:23. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, if we keep Jesus' commandment, well, then, by keeping his commandments, God loves us, and they come, God and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, of course, come and live inside us. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, it begins with us keeping the commandments. It begins with us obeying. Obeying what? Obeying what we know we should. How do we know? Just start reading the gospel. Start obeying what you can. Stop loving the world. Stop loving yourself. Stop loving. Don't have idols of your family, even your church, even your religion. You have to see Jesus in your church. Are you lifting up your church or Jesus? A true church will be used to lift up Jesus. I know Jesus to lift up a church. So the way that Jesus knows us is if we keep his commandments. Then he comes and he lives inside us. Hallelujah. We read in 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk as he walked. So do you understand? So it's all about keeping his commandments. Because you see, the commandments of God were made flesh when Jesus came. Jesus was the commandments of God made flesh. So he fulfilled the old commandments written in stones of Moses. And he became like the commandments in the flesh of Jesus, now written in the flesh of our heart and in the spirit of our soul. So the way is just to keep his word. We cannot say, I was born again, I'm born again. Jesus never went around and sounded the trumpet like many do today. I'm born again. Listen, you're born again, so what? That doesn't mean you're the bride of Christ. So what if you're born again? You're born again, but Jesus can still be ashamed of us. Like he says in Luke 9, verse 23-26. If we don't keep his word, don't preach his gospel, he's going to be ashamed of us. Attention, please. That doesn't mean go to a lake of fire. But yes, it means, it says in Revelation 3:11, we will lose our crown. So, in order to keep our crown, in order to be called as the bride of Christ by grace, we have to keep his commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, at least do all we can just forget about the bride, forget about the crowns, and forget about eternal blessing. Thank God we don't go to the lake of fire. That's about it. That's because the salvation is by grace. But rewards and the crowns and the blessing and everything else is by works. Works in Christ. By the strength of the grace of Christ. But yes, it takes our cooperation, our works enacted, empowered by the grace of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So how do we know him? It's a decision we have to make. Okay, here I give you a little key. When you are in front of a crisis, when you are in front of a decision, when you are in front of a difficulty, when you are in front of earth-shaking decision, like a marriage, a bunch of money are in front of you, or even life and death, you can decide for Jesus or against Jesus. The devil will make sure that at every big decision, you always have a way to escape, to take the way to forsake your faith, to forsake your walk with the Lord, to take the easy way that your flesh doesn't have to suffer. That's why Jesus said, either saves his life, shall lose it. Either loses his life, shall save it. So if we try to save our life, our family, our marriage, our money, our comfortableness, all right, instead of sacrificing these things when it's necessary, if it's necessary, at some time, sooner or later, will be necessary, if nothing else, because you will die of old age, you will have to forsake all these things. But for the true disciple of God, this decision comes before. Well, then if we are willing to sacrifice these things, when the opportunity presents, when the necessity arises, then we sacrifice these things for the glory of God, for the benefit of God, for the convenience of God, and not our convenience, for the interest of God, not for our interest. And when there is a choice, shall I put Isaac on the altar or no? Isaac, what is Isaac? Let's translate, because people think, oh, Isaac is somebody in Genesis. Yes, but there are more Isaacs. Isaac is our TV. Isaac is our send my wife to work because I need to get a bigger apartment. Let's not have children. Let's not have children because my wife needs to go to work. Why? I need a better car. You must understand. Wife, go to work. Why? Because if you have 4, 5, 6 children, you must understand. We're not going to get a better car. You cannot buy a better vacuum cleaner, please, you must understand. We cannot eat like this every day. I cannot drink that wine every day. I cannot watch TV. I need to go, excuse me. Wife, abort your children. Oh, take a little pill, whatever. Don't have children, just one child, that's it. But it's a choice, okay? It's a choice. Sacrificing your children, your babies, all right? Getting rid of them through a little pill, very legal. Very legal. God didn't create the pill. It was the devil. You should trust God for your children. Why? Because you want a second job, you want a second car, you want a bigger apartment, you want a better clothes, you want a better watch, you want a better TV, you want a better computer, you want better shoes, more carpets in your house, better furniture, so the neighbor can say, oh, what a successful man. If you do this, you don't know the Lord. Knowing the Lord is following Jesus everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter if you're crippled. It doesn't matter if you're blind. It doesn't matter if you're a beggar. It doesn't matter if you can evangelize a soul a day or one a week. You're doing all you can. It doesn't matter if you're stammering. Moses in the Bible was a stammering man. It doesn't matter if you're scared. It doesn't matter if you're as doubting as Thomas. It doesn't matter if you are sticking your foot in the mouth every day like Peter. It doesn't matter if you want to call fire from heaven and burn a whole city like John and James. It doesn't matter. God will teach you how to do better. How do you know Him? Well, that's a question you have to answer. Are you putting Jesus before everything? Are you putting the Lord before your money? I'm not talking about millions of dollars. I'm talking about $1,000 a month. That's already idolatry if you don't put it in front of God. If you don't dedicate it to God. From the $1,000 or $500 or like here in Eastern Europe, there are people who get $200 a month. That's the salary. And that's already an idol if you don't sacrifice it to God. What does that mean? Should I give it to God and go live under a bridge? No. But yes, it means that after you paid your rent, after you bought your pair of shoes, you make sure you pay your tithe to your church. But my church doesn't deserve it. If I have a better church that does deserve it. But if you belong to a born-again church, try not to change your church so easily. Because the problem may not be in your church, it could be you. If you belong to a church that's not born again, find a church that is. If you belong to a church that they don't believe in God's word, they don't study God's word, they don't follow God's word, they don't teach you God's word, they don't teach you to rely and to trust and to have only God's word as the only mediator, then change church for God's sake. If your church is a church of sadness, Revelation 2, verse 1, Revelation 3, verse 1. But if your church is a born-again church and your pastor loves the Lord, is not perfect, and your church is read the Bible, not perfect, but they do. They believe in the Bible, not perfect, but they do. Stay in your church. Help them. Your pastor needs help. Stop pointing fingers to you. Stop checking the mote in your pastor's eyes, in your brethren's eyes, in your church eyes, and your wives and husband and wives and your brother's eyes, and start checking your beam. Let's check our beam in our eye. Amen. It was only when I started looking at my beam, I realized I started putting things in the right perspective. Thank you, Lord.
A certain sister who's already a believer, she says she cannot find peace, even if she's a Christian. What must she do?
Well, she has to take the medicine. Take her medicines every day. There's a pharmacist that gives very good medicines. It's called the Bible Pharmacy. It's a doctor that can give you a prescription every day. It's Dr. Jesus. Go to the Lord every day. Give him your heart. Isaiah said, Isaiah 26:3, thou shalt keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Alright, so if we trust in Jesus, that will give us peace. Well, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm going to go to sleep, the devil bothering me. What I do? I just stop praying for my enemies. Stop praying for the people I don't like. Stop praying for the people who give me trouble. Stop praying for people who I think God should judge. Maybe I need to be judged more than them, who knows. So, I really make an effort to pray for the people I don't like. The top of the priority when I pray a lot of times is the people I don't like, my enemies, the people who hurt me, people who hate me, people who damage my ministry, my work, my gospel work, who gossip me. I pray for them because not only because it's written, all right, and honestly, not because I feel, no, but because also for these things, but a little, but mostly because Teyuda gives me peace. If I don't pray for my enemies, those enemies will steal my peace. You know, see, look, I'll tell you a little story. It was one time a ship. There was a bunch of sailors on a ship, and they shipwrecked. All right? And they were dying. They were going to die. But they were able to make a raft, put some piece of woods together. And after a few days of high sea, they were going to die. The ship sank. And they saw an island. So they started rowing with their hands and feet. Then after a few hours, they reached the island. So with the last little bit of strength, they just crawled out of the water. They just collapsed on the island. When they came back to themselves, they looked around. It was a desert island. There was nobody around to help them. They realized they were going to die of starvation. They needed water to drink. They needed food. But one of them noticed that there were some coconut trees. They were very tall, but so tall. I was in India for a few years, and a coconut tree are so tall. There were some Indian. We used to pay some Indian boys to climb there. They climb like monkeys. I don't know how they do. They really climb fast. Oh boy! So they go up there through the coconuts now. They cut them and throw them. You better stay away because when one of those coconuts fall on your head, you will know. So, they saw this coconut, they were so high, you know, a coconut tree can be as high as a 4 or 5 story building, 6 story building. It's very tall, they can go in 20 or 30 meters, a coconut even more. Never measured it. And so they didn't know how to reach this coconut, but that would have been their salvation. Their life was on the trees, and they could drink this coconut. There is juice inside, and also there is the coconut, you can eat it. But they didn't know how to get this coconut. Then they noticed there were the monkey going up and down. But how to get the monkey to bring in a coconut? That's impossible, you know. So one of them had a bright idea. He started picking up stones and throw stones to the monkey. Those monkeys, you know, they're not that silly, you know. They realize when you don't like them, you know. So they saw these bullets flying up, these stones. So they started firing back. And they were throwing stones after the monkey. The monkeys was shooting back to them. And guess what they were throwing down? Coconuts. They were throwing down coconuts. And so they were saved. So basically, they were deceiving the monkeys, making them think a certain thing, in reality, to get them to throw down what they wanted. So if the devil can make you upset, can make you hate people, can make you get revenge, can get you insult people, can get you to fire back, you, the devil, is going to deceive you into making you throw back to him what of best you have, your peace, your happiness, your love. Because every time you argue with somebody, you're shooting back. What are you shooting back? What the devil wants? Your love, your peace, your mercy, your joy, your grace. And then you find yourself. That's why every time you argue with people, you find yourself without grace, without joy, without peace, without happiness. You fell into the devil's trap. Now, there is a time to be upset, and that is against the devil. All right? They're not supposed to be loving to the devil, right? You don't rebuke the devil. Say, Mr. Devil, excuse me, can you please go to hell? Thank you. I'm sorry for bothering you. There was a lady who was demon-possessed. They went to a preacher and said, hey, can you please deliver me? And the guy said, sure, get on your knees, start praying. Just start to rebuke the devil. And so she got on her knees and she started praying. You know, she had been praying to the devil until then, you know, like the devil was a god. And this guy told her to receive Jesus. She received Jesus and now rebuked the devil. So she got on her knees and started rebuking the devil. And she went something like this. Dear devil, please, I ask you to leave me, please. Thank you. Say, no, that's not the way to rebuke the devil. You get upset. So she started rebuking the devil. She followed instruction. I rebuke you. Get upset. More upset. In Jesus' name, more upset. You're talking to the devil here. Who think you're talking to? Somebody in a bag, give me a cup of tea. So she got upset. You need to get upset, you know. He said, be angry and sin not. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. How's that? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. That doesn't mean that you can, after the sun is down, you're supposed to forgive people. As long as the sun is up, it's okay to hate people. It doesn't mean that. It means that don't let the sun go down on your wrath, on your righteous wrath. Be always upset and always wrathful, always, against what and who you're supposed to. That's the devil and his demons and evil. And even your sins, and even the sins you yourself have. There is a time, like Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there is a time to love and a time to hate, a time to gather, a time to spread, a time to live, a time to die, a time for peace and a time for war, a time to be born, a time to die, and so on. Understand? Does that answer your question? Alright, so you can tell this lady, she phoned you? Yes. Alright, tell this lady that she doesn't have peace. The peace begins with Jesus and ends with Jesus, is the Prince of Peace. So if she doesn't have peace, she needs to go down the checklist. Okay, here is a checklist. Okay, she has Jesus in her heart, she's a Christian, right? Okay, so she has Jesus. Is she filled with the Holy Spirit? You don't know. Ask her. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of a ceremony, a formalistic legalism. She can just get on her knees and every day desperately ask for the Holy Spirit. Better yet, she can go somebody lay hands on her. And she, like you say, because the Bible says if you ask the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit. You don't need any, like a bunch of candles or a bunch of tradition. Just ask with full heart. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 10, and the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius. No tradition, no candles, no water baptisms, nothing. In fact, he was baptized in the water later. The Holy Spirit, it doesn't need to wait for your water baptism. Alright? Cornelius got baptized before the water. Alright? So tell this lady that she needs to receive the Holy Spirit. And then what? And then is that enough? See, yes or no? No, it's not enough. Because Acts 5:32 says, if the Holy Spirit is given to them, who? Peter was talking to the Pharisees. And said, the Holy Spirit is given to who? Is given to them who obey. You understand? So if you don't obey, you lose the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not like Jesus and salvation that you never lose, okay? I know there are a bunch of doctrines around here, but I don't like to discuss doctrines, okay? I prefer to stick on the scripture, okay? The scripture says, John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and nobody shall take them out of my hands. Is that possible? Jesus, nobody can take us out of Jesus' hands. And Paul explains, Romans 8, nobody, no principalities, no things present, no things to come, nothing, no creature, nobody can separate us from the love of Christ. Nobody. Because once we have Jesus, when the devil gets near and he says, hey, Jesus, yes, Give me this soul. I want to bring it to hell. Jesus will give a kick and break the teeth of the devil and his horns, and it will send him away, terrorized, repenting, and sorry he ever got near. Okay, understand? Say, yeah, Jesus inside your soul is going to let the devil in. Can the devil come and push Jesus out of your soul? Are you joking? Jesus will break his teeth. Get out of here. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, two chapters, Jesus got near a couple of demon possessed, and they were out, the demon spoke through the demon possessed, and what did they say to Jesus? You, Son of God, did you come? They fell on their knees, by the way. Read it. Luke chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 8, the scripture you can go search and find out. They fell on their knees, the demon fell on their knees and worshipped. You can imagine a demon worshipping Jesus. What did they say? Did you come to torment us before the time? See, Jesus is not just our Savior, He's also the tormentor. You know Jesus is also a tormentor? Jesus is a Savior for us and a tormentor for the devil. See, did you come to torment us before the time? And then they begged Him, please don't send us to the deep. You know, the deep is a place where it's a horrible place in hell where they're torturing each other, okay? It's not God torturing them. They're torturing each other. Look at this world today. God is not hurting people. You know, Jesus. It's just the communist and the capitalist and Russia and America and the Muslim and Israel, the Palestinians and the Nazi and the fascists. These guys are torturing each other. And they would just listen. If all these guys put together, they just threw all the politics, all the doctrines, all the ideology in the garbage, and they just read a little bit of scripture of Jesus where He says, love your enemies. So there wouldn't be any war, any competition with the Russian America. There wouldn't be no atomic missiles, bacteriological, chemical, devil warfare. There would not be all these atomic rays. Why? Because they love each other. If America would spend 1% of what they're spending killing people, bombing people, in building atomic hellish bombs, and they would go around and throwing food from those planes, or maybe just with a parachute so they don't get damaged. If America would do that, there wouldn't be this. If America would go to, America is giving like billion and billion and billion and billions of dollars and trillion and quadrillion and quintillion to Israel, zero plus zero plus zero to Palestine, and they would share 50-50, there wouldn't be a problem like that. But Americans don't have this wisdom, just like any nation that goes to war doesn't have this wisdom. There was only one good thing America did in the Marshall Plan after World War II. The Marshall Plan, they brought a bunch of food to Europe, and they gave food for free to Germany, to Italy. I remember when I was a child, in the 50s, we used to go with my father, line up to get food for free. They would give you like kilos of meat for free. And they said, this is meat from America. And people, oh, America, God bless them. And even today, half of Italy is the most loyal, half of Italy and even Germany are the most loyal allies America has in Europe besides England. Why? Because with the Marshall Plan, they helped us, the nations that were defeated. But when after World War I, they humbled Germany, and they took everything out from Germany, so that provoked, that made the Germans so upset that immediately they put up Hitler and started another war. So they learned the lesson. The second World War II, they started with a Marshall Plan. They went to help them, and that kept the peace. Even today, Germany and most of Italy are the most loyal allied America has. So what I'm saying is, all these people, American, Russian, communist, capitalist, and whatever other antichrist, ungodly system there is in the world, and they will just read the gospel. Just a little scripture. I'm not asking half an hour a day. I'm asking 10 seconds a week. Love your enemies. Nothing else. Just put that in practice. They wouldn't need to build atomic bombs. They don't. Now, today, there is more atomic bombs than food. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus.
Another question. A listener phoned us and said at work, his co-workers make fun of him for being a Christian. He said he gets provoked by them and answers back with bad words, but afterwards he feels bad about it. How can you overcome his weakness?
Well, his weakness, it's just what I said about American, Russian, communism, those guys. He doesn't love those people. You see, this is your brother, Christian brother?
Yes.
Okay, tell him that if he phones again, or you if you phone him, tell him that, well, he needs to get in his knees and just ask the Lord Jesus to fill him with love. He says, love your enemies. Look, let me read some scripture here. Look. Shall we go to Romans? Romans 12. Let me read you some. Oh, the Bible. I love it. Thank you, Lord. Look, so we start to 12:12, chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. So are they giving him tribulation at work? Are they giving, well, patience in tribulation. Continue instant in prayer. Instant means all the time. Distribute the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That was verse 14. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Find somebody where he works, that they are crying, that they are troubled, they are problems. Help them. Weep with them. Cry with them. Tell him to get on his knees and show them his heart, his love. And ignore the people torturing him and bothering him. Maybe, possibly it could be that these people are making fun of him because he's acting as a religious person. If he would just show Jesus and the love of Jesus, that's the problem with the Christian problems at work. They are famous as religious people instead of being famous for loving people. You know, instead of inviting people, come to my church every Sunday and nobody's coming, they should say, hey, show them love. Offer them a drink, not alcoholic, of course. Bring an extra sandwich for somebody you know will appreciate. Somebody is full of work. You go, stay an extra fun hour and help him. I don't know what kind of job he's doing. Did you say what job he's doing?
No.
Okay, I don't know. Stay a little extra and clean the floor and do something. Just to show love. And then when somebody comes insulting, just smile. Smile. I think there was this Frenchman. It was in England, and it went a time when the French, when France had a bad reputation some 2-3 centuries ago, and a group of a mob of Englishmen grabbed them and said, these guys are French, come, let's kill them. So they surrounded them, they were going to kill them. And this man fell on his knees and said, my dear brother Englishman, isn't it enough of a curse? I am a Frenchman. Do also need to be killed on top of it? So the guy said, okay, let him go. Okay, so you could say, listen, isn't it bad enough? I'm a bad Christian. So do I also need to be insulted for it? Please have mercy on me. I'm just not a good Christian. You know, there is always, you see, the humility street is the way to get out of any trouble. You know, if you're in a traffic jam, take humility street, okay? You'll get out. It's an invisible street which the people in the jam don't see. But if you look around with the eyes of faith, you'll see. It's called humility street. Okay, it's not in the map, in the normal maps, but it's in the Bible. It's always, 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, God always make, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, remember that, says, God always make a way to escape. There is no temptation God gives you, but always, without the temptation, always makes a way to escape. You can be crucified with Jesus. You can be crucified next to Jesus and be a thief with nails sticking out your hands and nails sticking out your feet. Yet there is a way to get out. Turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a thief, a robber, I deserve to be crucified and I deserve to go to hell. But remember me today in your kingdom. You will see Jesus' face slowly turning and saying these words, today you'll be with me in paradise. There is always a way out. Tell this dear brother, first of all, tell him we love him so much and we will put him in our daily prayer, which we have every day. Oh, by the way, dear listeners, anybody needs prayer, call in, phone in, write in, email in, do something in, and we'll put you in the list. Because every day we have a special prayer. And let me say this, we see miracle happening. Even the other day, two women phoned, sick. One had a broken arm, a broken arm, and the other what?
Her arm was blocked for 6 months.
Yeah, go. Why don't you share this little testimony real quick?
Two ladies phoned a few days ago. One of them had a cold, sore throat, and the other one had a blocked arm for 6 months, couldn't lift up her arm. And they phoned us for prayer for healing. The brother evangelized them through the phone and brought them closer to the Lord, spoke to them about confessing their sins, cleansing their hearts, and walking a straight road with the Lord. And I would pray for healing, and both of them declared themselves healed after the prayer.
Right on the phone. Yeah. And then we asked her to move her arm, and
she could lift it up without pain.
Hallelujah. She could live the first time after man. So we see we see telephone miracles here, because the Holy Spirit is not limited by telephones. Before the telephone was invented, the Holy Spirit was already healing people here and there. The Lord is not limited by a phone. All right. So let's continue here. We are in Romans chapter 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. 17. Tell this brother, tell him. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide honest things in the sight of all men. So in this time, when they treat you evil, dear brother, I hope you'll be listening to this CD. Please make sure you send them this CD. Dear brother, when they do evil to you, okay, you need to kill it. What kill? Kill evil. How? There's only one way, through love. Somebody lights a fire, you can kill the fire through water. You know, the way to kill evil is love. See, Jesus had the right to call fire from heaven and burn the whole world. Big Sodom and Gomorrah, beginning with the Pharisees, Pontius Pilate and company. No, he said, Father, forgive, they don't know what they're doing. Brother, I counsel you to just pray for these people. But not just some kind of religious prayer, oh, Father, bless them, and then you go back the next day, you're still cold as ice. Just go back, bring a cake, bring a bottle of something to drink, some soft drinks. Do something, listen to their jokes. They'll be talking to you about politics, they'll talk to you about sports, they'll talk to you about maybe even silly things. Listen. Listen, don't act so holy, holier than thou. Don't come near me, you contaminate me. I don't come to your house because I contaminate myself. Just listen to the jokes. Even if the joke sometimes is not funny, just listen. And unless it's a blasphemous joke, then listen. And then agree, oh, that was funny. So the doctor, then okay, the nurse, all right. It happened in that house. Because if you listen to the jokes, even though, or whatever they're saying, they respect you. See, we have to earn the right to preach to people. If we don't listen to them, we don't have a right to have them listen to us. You understand? So let's keep reading here. We are in Romans 18. If it's possible, verse 18, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it's possible, you do all you can to live peaceably. 19, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. Don't try to make your own vengeance. 20, therefore, if your enemy is angry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall put heaps of coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. So anyway, back to the point, we are closing down here. The point is to know the Lord. Do we know the Lord? Like everything begins with knowing the Lord. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. See, here is the difference, you see. The difference between the bride of Christ, who knows Jesus and is the bride, and the believers in Christ, who by the skin of their teeth will escape hell. So where are we? Are we a believer in Christ, or somebody who knows Christ? You see, the Bible talks about the book of life, where names can be raised, according to Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5 says you can be raised from the book of life. And then there is another book, it's called the book of the Lamb. Do you understand the difference? Okay, so the book of the Lamb, we can only be written there if we know Christ. If we know Jesus, spiritually. That's the bride. That's the goal. It doesn't matter if you know your wife, your husband, your children, your father, your politician, the president of the country. Pray for them. Great, wonderful. But they cannot help you the moment you die. You need to know Jesus. It doesn't matter if we become the richest person in this country. It doesn't matter. We were not born to become rich, to get a big car, to buy a nice house. These things are transitory. We're only passing through this life. Do we know Jesus? This is what we have to put our heart in. See, in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let me add another scripture, verse 3. We are in Matthew 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for the tomorrow will worry of his own things. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You understand? So we cannot serve two masters. Either we love the world or we love God, or we hate God and we love the world. What does that mean? I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. It means that maybe we can be nominal Christians. Yes, we go to church every Sunday, but so what? So did the Pharisees. We can go to church, and so what? We can be as God's people as much as the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were following every commandment. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 1 and 2 and 3, he said to his disciples, listen and obey what the Pharisees are telling you. Why did he say that? Pharisees were following every commandment. But then he said, but don't do what they do, but do what they say. Alright, so we have to choose. Either we love the world or we love God. See, I have some practical guidelines here. I have some points I want to go real quick through. How we can we can overcome the world. Look, I took some notes down here. Let me read it to you. Number one, let's study God's word. Mark 1:35, Jesus was getting up when it was dark and praying. That means you have to go to bed early at night. Memorize the special scripture through which God speaks to you. At the point, God's blessings will surely grow in your life. Number two, I put down a few steps here. Start proclaiming what the Lord is doing in you and for you as soon as God starts. Don't wait a minute. Let no one of us be ashamed of telling others about Jesus, or Jesus will be ashamed of us. That's what he says. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, up. Luke 9, 23, up. And then what? And then help your church, help your brethren. Your pastor, right? So, what else? People making fun to you at your work, the cure is don't fight back. Win hate with love. Don't act religiously. Act Christian. It's not the same all the time. So what else? The next point. Beware of the Simon syndrome. That's a point I wanted to put, I put down here. So lately it's called the American Gospel of Prosperity. What is that? It means to give to God and others with the selfish purpose of receiving back from God 100 times. Yes, that is God's law. And you will receive back. But only, you will receive only materially, but not spiritually. And not in the true eternal riches of Christ. So, make sure that we don't give to God so we can receive back. Next point. Share our bread with our brothers who are less. Alright? We read in 1 John 3:17. Whosoever has his world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's 1 John 3:17. So that means that we need to be faithful in tithing, that we support our church, and it doesn't matter if our church is not perfect, we need to do it with all our heart. Next, we have to be careful about turning our lamentations and complaints and murmurs and grudges into evangelization. Let's show the world around us, even though we are in the middle of problems, that we are still walking in faith and praising the Lord and loving God and others. And always telling people as much as we can of the name of Jesus. We can read that in Acts 16, 22-25, Acts 5, 42-42. Well, also if we tell people about Jesus, you know what's going to happen. That will give us strength. Also, let's be ready to overcome tests. As soon as we decide for Jesus when we are in front of a crisis, the devil will test us. So we need to be ready to overcome the devil. Alright? Remember the story of Cain, Genesis chapter 4? The Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? Why are your countenance falling? Say, the sin is at your door, at the door you have, but you must resist. Alright? Very important that we resist the devil. Very important we resist sin. We see that in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus resisting the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That, there was a purpose. Purpose, you have to go there to be tempted. We are supposed to be tempted every day. We need to resist. But if we resist, Matthew chapter 4 says, behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And the angels will minister unto us if we resist the devil. Amen. And then after what? After that, we receive the power of the Spirit. We see that in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. He says, we'll receive the power of God. And if we do this, the blessing of obedience will reach us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So, brethren, let's overcome in Jesus' name by giving all our heart to Jesus. Revelation 21:1-8. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. Verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise God. Last, dear brethren, God bless you. In closing, we would like to hear from you. Get in touch. Please communicate with us of all the blessing God is doing and will do in your life and in the lives of others if you put Jesus first. To inspire even us. Are we inspiring you? We hope so. Please inspire us and all everybody around here with all the wonderful things our powerful, wonderful, and loving God and Savior is doing there with you. In you and for you and through you and praise the Lord. And we remind you that to all that we write, we will send you a gift of one of our DVD, CD of your choice. And God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.